I'm kind of curious about the next question, because I think I might be an authority on that next question.
So
being a child who was growing up with this.
Yeah, you know, this may land on the generations differently.
Yes.
In the room. When the question, when I've been in conversation with someone, and they gave me permission to bring it into our Q&A time tonight, but the question is essentially, when is it appropriate to spank a child? Now, that's the simplest piece of the question. It may lend itself to a spiraling out of control conclusion as to the when, the where, the how long, when should you start, when should you stop. Those kinds of things, I think, would naturally surround the question itself. This is obviously a Christian parent who's wanting to know. It's an assumed position because the question is, when is it appropriate? So it's assumed that it is appropriate. The question is, when is it appropriate? So it's not really asking what's the proper age to spank a child. They're not asking, when should I stop spanking the child? But I think those are questions that are inside of this question. And when is it appropriate to spank a child? And I might offer this up front, and then we may all be experts of receiving spankings.
Oh, yeah. Remember your
and,
mom.
And my there. Mom's present in the room, so. Apparently it was appropriate for me to be spanked. Once.
Twice.
May have been more than once. I don't really remember. That one time really left a mark.
Emotionally or physically?
Yes.
We won't go
all of the above. So, when is it appropriate to spank a child? I'll start with just a simple answer, then maybe let's obviously we need to have some authority from Scripture. But I think the first way I answer this is when it's clear to a parent that a child is deliberately disobeying you on a very clear instruction, that there's going to be a necessity based from the biblical instructions about and surrounding the teachings of spanking. Let me go on record as saying I do believe spanking is appropriate. And fortunately, we don't live in a state where that's illegal yet. But it's a moving trend among the nations. It's a moving trend among the growing popular ideas about child rearing. I do believe that spanking is appropriate. I believe it's beneficial. Proverbs 13:24, he who spares the rod hates the child. And so, obviously, I think in our conversation, I want to talk some more about the parameters we have to put around that. Spanking doesn't mean beating, even though some of us may have grown up in an era where that's how parents described a spanking, is a child got a beating. But we're not talking about abuse. We're talking about the intentionality of spanking. So when is it appropriate to spank a child? I'm not going to back off of my first answer, because it may be even necessary to spank a child when that child doesn't even fully comprehend the articulated warnings from the parent to understand that what they're doing is dangerous. So, but I do think that as a child grows, it needs to happen within at least this parameter, that the child knows that it has deliberately disobeyed the clear instructions of a parent. And that from the child has violated a teaching of God in the Scripture. So I
want to jump in on this, and I think we can probably go back and forth and all of that. I think that the most important, I think every single one of us that are either parenting or who have parented understand that spankings or punishment in that sense has to be administered within the context of love. We all understand that. We're just preaching the choir when we say that it is all administered within the context of love. And sometimes that love is going to be expressed in the teaching of a lesson to say, you've been warned multiple times, and now as a result, you're going to receive something that is painful as a reminder that you have been defiant. And then also I think you said in context of they perhaps are not they're not able to understand what you're articulating to them because of their age, but they can understand if they're young enough, a little bump on the bottom saying, no, that's not right. And whether it is to get into something that is potentially dangerous to them, touching a hot stove, going in a direction where something can cause further harm to them, maybe even loss of life, or running out into the street. But if it's handled, obviously, in the context of love, then we know that we're not going to pick up a 2x4 and smack them upside the head. Now, we've all grown up hearing, you know, those phrases from tough parents, I'm going to knock you into the next zip code if you don't, you know, do what I'm telling you to do.
I'm going to write that one down.
Yeah. and, you know, those kinds of things, those kinds of phrases which are instill fear. But I think even those types of warnings are stern and should be received by the child. I remember, you know, there were times when my dad, he didn't even give me a warning because he knew and he understood that I understood what I was doing was inappropriate. And he administered a little heat, I suppose we could put it that way. But it was appropriate. And I'll share one recollection. My brother and I were very young. I'm 3 years older than my brother. However, we were very young, and my dad was a smoker. So we found his pack of cigarettes that he had left laying around, Camel cigarettes, and we decided we wanted to smoke. So we took his pack of cigarettes. We were out back the side of the house and behind a huge Chinese elm tree that we had in our backyard. And we were hiding back there, basically just smoking these cigarettes and coughing and smoking. But we were doing it because we wanted to see what it was like to smoke. And instantly, the presence of my father was looming over the back of us. And his response to us was this: oh, you want to smoke? Okay, that's fine. So he takes out his lighter and he lights, because as soon as we saw him, we immediately put out the cigarettes and we're like, we're busted. And he said to us, you want to smoke? That's fine with me. He lit up two cigarettes and he said, smoke them. And he made us smoke those cigarettes. And I was like, no, no, Dad, it's okay. I understand. I get it. I don't want to do this. But my brother, 3 years younger than me, was like, great, Dad's going to let us smoke. So he's puffing away. And I'm talking to my brother and talking to my dad. I'm saying, Chris, stop, stop, stop. And I'm crying. So his administration of punishment to us was to say, I want you to get sick off this thing so that you know that you don't want to do this. And this is coming from a man who started smoking when he was 9 years old and had been smoking all his life, which was a very accepted thing. He was born in 1926, and, you know, he grew up where smoking was just an accepted thing among kids. You know, parents didn't say, oh, you shouldn't smoke or anything. There weren't any laws or anything like that. But his enforcement to me was to make me endure the pain and the sickness, and he was hoping that I would get sick off that thing and learn the lesson then and never want to do it. But the fear of my dad telling me to do that was enough for me to understand that anyway. So that was his administering of punishment.
It left a mark.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now I only smoke in secret. So. I'm just kidding.
Verse 29:17. It says this: discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give you delight to your heart. So we know we're supposed to discipline, okay? So I can tell you this from an expert position because I did it wrong both times. In regard to my youngest son as well as my oldest son, I went to both of the wrong ditches. I was very, very aggressive with my oldest son. And my youngest son could run all over me because I was never going to get to the point of anger ever again. And he knew that. Okay? So let's take it in regard to the scripture, what should we do then? Go back and read the Old Testament. Seriously. And look at how God disciplined Israel. And recognize the measured approach that God took. Discipline should have a measured approach. First of all, it should have rules. There first came commandments. Your home must have rules. And it must be rules that you're going to hold up to. So don't do like me and make rules that you'll never keep. Just doesn't work. Okay? Make rules. But then recognize in the Old Testament God's long suffering with Israel. He didn't immediately, quote, spank them. He had them suffer in some way. He had them suffer a little more. And then he said, okay, this is it. The next time, and then whatever he said after that, he would hold up to. So whatever you say after that, make sure you're willing to hold up to it. Okay? And then after that long suffering, there may be a point that you need to spank. Now, I asked Paul earlier, you know, we need to understand the definition of spanking, okay? And I don't have that definition for you tonight, but whatever you think it is, okay, it should be the end of your long suffering, and it should be something that will happen if you get to that point. Now, I see our Lord taking that approach with us, and I think if I could go back today and do it all over again, I would try that much more. In that I have rules, I have mercy, I have long suffering, but when you get to the point that you get to the end of the line, this is the discipline you and I both have agreed to. And that's where you do that. Now, the other thing that Paul and I talked about too is, let's just put it in today's context, you need to be very careful.
Yeah.
And today, you know, it wouldn't bother me one bit to turn my child over a basket at a grocery store and wear him out in the middle of the grocery store. And even if somebody came by and whipped him for me while I was getting some food, I'd be okay with that too. But today, you got to be very careful with how you discipline your children out in the public, okay? So it may be something that you make sure you do at home. But again, reinforcing rules, never, ever, ever, ever do it just because you're angry and this is going to satisfy you.
And you know what, I would emphasize that, you know, punishment of our child, of our children in the state of anger is one of the most difficult ways of restraint that we have to deal with as a parent, because it is so natural for us to want to say, I am going to spank your little bottom, and we want to do it in the moment, in the heat of the moment. You were saying about looking back at scripture, and in Proverbs, all over Proverbs, we hear the words wisdom and knowledge and discernment and discretion and all of these things, and certainly those things apply. Proverbs, just one element here, Proverbs chapter 8, verses 11 to 12, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. And I heard somebody say something this weekend that I think really applies, that having knowledge and wisdom are two different things that work in concert with each other. Knowledge, by example, is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. But wisdom is knowing well enough not to put it into a fruit salad. Okay? So I think if you apply that to the context of, you know, spanking, yes, it is appropriate to spank a child. And the when, I think, is really the good part of this question. When is it appropriate? Well, it's appropriate when the child is defiant, but the when also applies to, not in the heat of the moment, but so that you as a parent and the child both have a little bit of understanding why you're giving the punishment, and why especially that they are receiving it. If they're just getting beat on and they have no idea why they're being beat on, then we're just instilling fear.
Well,
and they don't want to be around us. But somebody said one time that elephants are sort of an interesting example of this, that a mother elephant will typically pick up a stick with her trunk and will use it as a swatting object rather than to use her trunk itself, so that there's a difference that they understand that there's a tool of administering punishment. I don't know if elephants are smart enough to know this, but God has put this instinctually into them so that the baby elephant knows it's okay to be embraced by that trunk or whatever, or there's some affection that's administered in that way. But that hand that is the tool of administering the punishment also has to be the hand that gives love and provides care and comfort as well. And if the child understands that, the difference that is taking place, I'm not saying take your belt off and of course I probably have a few belt marks when I was growing up as well too, but discernment, prudence, understanding. So that word of when, I think is very, very important.
Yeah. The last verse that I'll throw in there, and we should remember this well because it was just a couple of sermons ago, was from Paul in Ephesians 6:4, not to exacerbate your child. And so if there's a particular rule that just keeps getting broken and broken and broken and broken and you can't seem to get beyond them breaking it, maybe it's time to look at the rule and readdress the rule. Because at that point something is not just being received well for that. So,
yeah, I think there's some good things here to help each, especially these parents with children still in the home. You know, can you imagine, you older adults, can you imagine raising a child in this culture? I mean, you've heard up here of the three of us talking about having parents who showed restraint. Let me make sure that I clarify this. But we've used the words whipping, beating, to describe a spanking or a rod. When you hear someone of our generation talking about getting a whipping, we're not talking about a whip and being whipped to your last breath. We're talking about a belt, a paddle, a willow tree branch. Those are pretty effective. A wooden spoon, pretty effective. These are measured decisions that an individual makes so that they don't be overcome with anger and passion of the moment and literally cause not just physical harm, but mental scarring that's over the top, out of order.
Yeah, so you've heard the stories of where Dad says, I want you to go and cut yourself your switch, and you go pick a good one. If it breaks, you're going to get more, and if it doesn't break, then okay. So you're going and getting that. We had a thing with our girls. We had this thing. We very seldom used it, but we had this thing called Mr. Whacker, and we would tell the girls, you're going to have to go get Mr. Whacker and bring it here, and they knew they didn't want to have to make that journey to go get Mr. Whacker.
Did Mr. Whacker ever go missing?
I think it's gone. It's long gone. It probably got thrown out or destroyed or hidden, I think, a couple of times. Yeah.
I think for the parent, don't be afraid of the biblical instructions here. There is something that the Bible is wanting us to understand about our sinful nature, that a whipping, a spanking, a paddling actually helps to it doesn't. We're not exercising evil out of our children, but we're making certain our children know that evil actions have serious consequences. Mm-hmm. And there will be things that your children do, and you as parents will need to have these conversations with each other so that you're in a united front about this issue. But there are some things that your children do that disobey that don't warrant a spanking. And there will be things that it's going to require a spanking. And if you restrain yourself from the necessary spanking or the rod, Well, then hear what the scripture says. You're not expressing love at this moment. You're actually hating the child because there is something that is needing to happen inside of the mind of this child that this action warrants that kind of a response. And I would totally agree. This is not something you need to be in the practice of just in the spur of the moment using an open hand to swat or to hit a child with. This needs to be a well thought out moment of here's what actions require it, and here's when it's going to happen, and why it's going to happen. But we grew up in an era, you younger people, you don't get this. We grew up in an era when principals would spank children.
Oh yeah. Teachers, principals.
Yeah. Yeah. So you think about how different it is for these young adults here. This is foreign language to most of their peers. And most of their children's peers don't know anything about a corrective rod. And what they do know about it is it's usually exercised in excessive anger of a parent who's abusive. So we can't automatically equate a spanking to being abusive, but that's what this current culture is doing with this. There is a reason for a spanking, and there is a spiritual benefit to your children that you would understand it. So how hard should you spank them? How often should you spank them? You and your spouse need to have some long conversations. You need to have some really helpful conversations with each other. But I think you would hear from us, you should not refrain from spanking, but you certainly should have some parameters around it to guard your heart so that you're not doing so in anger. But knowing that it's for the benefit of your child that they experience that. Anything else you guys want to say about spanking? You got any scars you want to talk about?
Well, no, but I had a civics teacher, eighth grade civics teacher, that had a paddle in his room that it was literally if you got paddled by it, you also were given the privilege of signing his paddle. If you had to get, so if you wanted to have your signature on his paddle, you had to be willing to submit to a paddling in front of the class.
Yeah.
And it was a board with a handle that the shop had made for him, and whack, and it had holes drilled in it.
Yeah.
For airflow.
So it would flow quicker.
Airflow, yeah. Yeah. And you had a hard time sitting down. But you got to sign that paddle, so.
It was a different world back then, wasn't it?
It was.
We had a paddle in our house, and it said, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Then daddy's,
I think that's what
you.
It said. Isn't that what it said? Yeah. We had notches on it for how often we had to get a spanking for it. None of us know where that is today. And it's I don't know
burned.
If you know
I'm
where
sure
it
your
is.
Boys probably burn that thing, yeah.
I think I threw it.
It's been notched out.
There's no wood left on it, is there? Yeah. Thanks, Chuck. All right. Yeah, let's move along. Maybe one last word on this is, I think we're going to need to have some helpful discussions for our young parents in our church who are raising children in a radically different era surprisingly soft culture. Because, you know, John, our principal, when he spanked somebody, it was in front of the whole class.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you went to the principal's office and got a spanking and came back crying. No, it was in front of the whole class.
Yeah. Well, we had both. Yeah, we had both.
I know nothing about my second grade school principal, but I know his name because we made up a song about him. And Dr. Sennett was his name.
Okay.
Yeah. Over land, over sea, over Dr. Sennett's knee. You didn't sing it when you came back from his office. You sang it as you're going to his office in the classes. Well, I wonder what happened to Dr. Sennett. I don't know. Well, okay, let's move along.